LibroFM lets you purchase audiobooks directly from your favorite local bookstore. Choose from more than 150,000 audiobooks, including New York Times bestsellers and recommendations from booksellers around the country. With LibroFM, you'll get the same audiobooks at the same price as the largest audiobook company out there. You know what one we're talking about, but you'll be part of a much different story, one that supports community.
If you're new to audiobooks, they're the perfect way to get more books into your busy life. Listen while doing chores, walking the dog, or just relaxing at home. All you need is a smartphone and the free LibroFM app.
If you already love audiobooks and don't know what to listen to next, check out recommendations and curated lists from the people who know audiobooks best, local booksellers.
Listeners of the Bookstore Podcast can get a 2-month audiobook membership for the price of 1 month.
Go to Libro.fm, that's Libro.fm, and enter bookstore at checkout. With each listen, take pride in knowing that you're supporting local bookstores.
Welcome to the bookstore.
It's like a book club, but we actually read the book.
I'm Becca.
And I am Corinne. This week, we are bringing you our gift guide. We are recording this on November 5th, 2020, a couple days after the election. We don't have any answers, so we're just not going to talk about it. So, this year, for holiday gift giving, especially when it comes to bookstores and buying from independent bookstores, which we always suggest, we are ardently anti-Amazon in this household. And so in order to help booksellers, try to get your book shopping done as soon as possible. It's a tough year for many reasons. And this way we can, you know, avoid delays in deliveries and et cetera. So we're coming at you a little bit sooner than we normally do, but we're here and we're happy to do it. So do you want to start? I think usually we kind of have like groups of things that we do, but this year it looks like we've just got straight up like lists. So maybe we can just go back and forth with them and then kind of base them off of, you know, related items.
Yeah. I did kind of copy yours. Okay. I mean, not obviously with the book recommendations, but will say I had a hard time thinking of books just because I really haven't been reading that much. And I haven't been reading many new books. But the first one that you, the sort of subject that you came up with was for the one in your book club. And I liked that, so I stole it. And I'm going to say The Vanishing Half by Britt Bennett, which is maybe kind of a cop-out because I feel like you probably have already heard this book and seen it everywhere. But I think it's a really good book for maybe somebody who you know, your friend who doesn't usually buy books and maybe hasn't been able to get to the library, or really this is going to be, you know, probably dozens of holds. So just a nice thing to get somebody. And I do, however, have a coworker who did read it, and she said she raved about it, and she said that it was definitely like one of those books that she finished within days, and she doesn't usually do that because it was so interesting and she really just couldn't tear herself away. I also think just based on what it's about, which is twin sisters, one of whom decides to pass as white, it sounds like it's got some similarities to Nella Larsen's Passing, which we read and loved. So I think it's one of those, if you read Passing and really loved it, you would probably love this book as well.
Yeah. And I think, you know, it would have a lot of good opportunities for conversation with your book club and that sort of thing. Yeah, that's a good one. The one that I chose for the person in book club is Leave the World Behind by Ruman Alam. I've not had the opportunity to read this, but I think in terms of the buzz that it's getting and the reviews that I have read from people that I trust, it sounds like it's another one that's got kind of like a lot of interesting converging issues that are pretty relevant to right now and will be very good for book club. Obviously, that's the category. But I think it could also make the person that you give it to like on top of it for book club, and then they'll have like a really good one to suggest to their group. So leave the world behind. It's kind of like a end of the world scenario in which a white family goes out like way out in the Hamptons. They've rented this vacation home, and sort of suddenly while they're there, the like all of the power goes out and nobody really quite knows what's going on out in the world, if it's a pandemic related thing or if it's some sort of like huge infrastructure failure. But things are not looking great, and the owners of the home arrive and they are black. And so it's about these two families kind of working around the issues related to race there, and also class, because it is a huge home out in the Hamptons. And so kind of like a lot of, you know, things that are quite relevant to 2020. Again, I think it would be great for discussions with friends or with a book club or whatever it happens to be. It's getting a ton of talk right now, and I think it would be a great gift for people who like popular fiction and like that kind of fiction that is of the moment and what people are chatting about. So if that's not necessarily what you are best at, a great option to give those people in your life.
Yeah. So my next one I have is For Your Best Friend. That is Girl, Woman, Other by Bernardina Evaristo. I know I've posted about this on social media. I feel like I might have even talked about it on the podcast before, but this is really long. It's like over 400 pages, and it's in a format that has a lot of line breaks, almost kind of like poetry. And it's not poetry, but it's like, you know, how there's a lot of line breaks in poetry.
Yep.
And there's almost no punctuation. There's also like dozens of characters in this book, and it's not plot driven at all. It's like purely character driven. But with that, like, I could not put this one down, which is usually you only see that when it's like, I want to find out what happens. But with this one, it was so, like, I want to say easy to read. And I feel like people, when you say that, some people take it as like a negative connotation.
Mm-hmm.
But Evaristo's writing, it's so beautiful. And once you get used to the format, which it didn't really take me that long, like a couple pages, it's so easy. And I think it even, the way she does it, I don't think I could imagine reading this book in like a normal like paragraph format, just because the way the spaces and the lines are used makes it like so good and unique and just adds something to it. It's definitely not at all like a gimmick kind of thing.
Right.
Which is how I do kind of sometimes feel about really experimental novels with form. Yeah. And it's just about these black women in Britain, and they all somehow have a little bit of a connection to each other. They're all from very different walks of life, and it's, I don't know, it's just really good. And it makes you like, makes you feel a lot. And it's like, what is it like to be a woman? What is it like to be a black woman? And obviously a lot of what it's like to be British. but there's a history too, like it goes through different generations. This was probably one of my favorite books, probably of all time. It's so, so good.
I just got a letter from my Canadian cousin, and she mentioned she really loved it too. So I think it's got a really wide appeal. And if your friends are at all literary in any way, and this isn't one they have checked out, then it's probably perfect pick for them. So that's a good one.
Yeah.
I didn't have a category for this because I didn't see your list, but I have a suggestion for a book for your best friend, or a book that I would give to a best friend. And you could do this either as an audio book, I think. I listened to it on audio and I loved it so much, or you could give the book as well. It's a book of essays. Really, it's kind of like movie criticism. It's called Shit, Actually, by Lindy West. when Lindy West was writing for Jezebel, like almost 10 years ago now, she did some movie reviews where she kind of rewatched these favorite movies. And the big one is Shit, Actually. That's the one that she wrote, but it's a rewatch of Love Actually, and she kind of just gives like a plot summary and makes fun of like the whole thing. Lindy West is very funny. She's also got like a lot of smart like cultural commentary, which I think is she's really good at working in an entertaining way. And so this book, which is essays about, you know, I don't know, maybe a dozen different movies that she rewatched, are very funny. It's a really good distraction from things for right now, you know, short distractions from these things. The audiobook is fantastic because she reads it and it's just a lot of fun to hear her put her spin on the jokes that she put in. And it did, it made me feel like I was doing a movie night sort of with friends, where like, you know, when you watch movies with your friends, you just crack jokes about like all of the things that happen. So I really loved it. Thought it was a lot of fun. I know you liked it as well.
Yeah, I am listening to it via Libro FM. I haven't finished it only because I love it so much that I don't want it to end, and I'm very sad that it's going to end, but I absolutely laugh out loud. I, of course, love Lindy's like serious commentary, you know, the article she's written for New York Times. But I did first come across her on Jezebel writing these very, very funny movie reviews. And she's funny enough to where even the movies that I've never seen, like I've never seen Top Gun.
Oh, yeah.
But I was like crying laughing.
Yeah, I listened to it way too fast, but I think I would probably go back and re-listen to things. So it's it's like anytime you kind of need like a short pick me up, it's like listening to a podcast, I think, in that way. So the audiobook is great. Again, suggest that, maybe gifting it from Libro FM. So yeah, that's my best friend pick.
So you had one on there that was called For Your Sibling's Cool Significant Other, which I love.
Yes.
That that subject. But I picked for that one The Death of Vivek Oji by Akweke Emezi. We read Pet by Emezi for a mini. So this is another book that I have not read, and I'm very sorry about that. I actually pre-ordered this book because I loved Freshwater, their debut novel, so much. That book was another one where I could not put it down. And it's really primarily, again, character driven. I just wanted to know more about the character. I was so immersed in it. So I just can't believe that The Death of Vivek Oji is going to be any different, or I'm going to feel any different about it. So hopefully when I can finally read books again, I will be able to finally read this book. But it's got a really cool cover too. It's a, you know, it's hardcover. It just is like, makes a nice gift. And it's all about, I think it also has similar themes in that it's going to be a lot about identity and family, which it's for cool people only.
I, for this category, chose Luster by Raven Leilani, which we read recently for the podcast. This is, I think, one of my favorite books of this year. In a lot of ways, it's kind of got like these darkly humorous, snarky tones, which I think, you know, will land well with a younger person. And by younger, I mean, you know, a young adult into your 20s and 30s, maybe. And it's also, I don't know if it's weird to say, a little bit sexy to give like your brother's girlfriend or whatever, but it's just, it's got cool vibes. I'm not saying you're trying to get sexy with your, you know, sibling's partner. That's not the point, but like, you know, it's just got, it's got very cool sort of, vibes to it. And I think like the humor would land really well with a millennial, maybe an older Gen Zer. I think it's a really just kind of cool book about like a weird relationship in this young woman kind of coming to terms with asserting herself in her life and making weird bad decisions that are sort of funny. And I liked it a lot. The cover is also absolutely gorgeous, like you said. Mm-hmm. So, like, you'll get, you know, some points for picking out something that's, like, aesthetically pleasing and giving it to this cool person that you're maybe, you know, trying to get in good inroads with for Christmas time.
Yes. So I have a category that I called For Your Sibling's Kids. And that is The Wizard of Earthsea by Ursula K. Le Guin. I think that right now everybody's maybe kind of reassessing Harry Potter based on who J.K. Rowling is. And it's not, it's one thing to, you know, reread a copy you already have. I think it's another thing to like shell out the money for like a box set.
Right.
For the 12-year-old, you know. So I would recommend this, especially when you have like the age of kids where it's like maybe they're a little bit too young for like a Lord of the Rings or an N.K. Jemisin, but you want some kind of fantasy. This is also more about the wizard himself, and it takes him from when he's young to when he's older, and it's kind of like the basic hero's journey kind of thing, but it's definitely more about him and his growth as a person as opposed to like a convoluted plot or about good and evil. It's kind of interesting in that way because he actually like makes pretty big mistake and causes the thing that he has to then defeat in a way.
Yeah.
So it just makes it really just kind of different in that it's showing somebody, it's not just like a flawed hero, but it's like a hero that like you don't even really like at first. And then you learn to like as you see him, you know, face the consequences of his actions. I would also want to say I watched the Studio Ghibli adaptation of it. And currently, I haven't watched all of them, but it's my favorite Studio Ghibli movie so far. Willem Dafoe has a voice in it, which may or may not be heavily contributing to my opinion of it.
That's a good one. Yeah. He's got a good voice. So I think we're probably going to diverge a little bit here with our categories. The one that I've got coming up next is for the one with stock options. This one's, you know, just for your person who likes maybe a little bit of history, maybe a little bit of nonfiction stuff that's not necessarily narrative driven. This book is Money, The True Story of a Made-Up Thing, and it's written by Jacob Goldstein, who you may know from NPR's Planet Money. Josh read this one recently and he can't stop talking about it. So if you have someone in your life who's interested in economics, either, you know, like personal or like in a political sort of sense too, this is a good kind of primer for the history of money and kind of the theories surrounding it, bringing you up to sort of like some more modern day situations. He says it's very interesting. It's a little bit funny. It's got a very approachable writing voice too. So I don't think it'll put off people who are, you know, maybe not that into like really kind of technical nonfiction sort of stuff. So I think in having listened to Planet Money too, they've got like a nice approach that makes this really accessible to learn about. So you get that there. Sometimes I struggle to come up with things that I would consider like as gifts for like my dad, you know, or maybe like your father-in-law or like, you know, whoever it is like in my family that I don't necessarily meet with in terms of books because I'm over here in like literary land and they're over here in like straight-laced nonfiction land. And I think that's a good fun option for those types of people in your life, especially, like I said, if they're interested in money and policy regarding money and also like the theories of economics in a way that makes it easy to understand.
Alternatively, if you have a 9-year-old in your life who you hate, you could also give that to them.
True.
Okay, so I'm going to go to my category for the one who loves memoirs, and I am going to say Coming of Age in Mississippi by Anne Moody. Also for anybody who likes Southern literature or just memoirs about growing up in the South, and anybody who maybe read Memorial Drive that we did an episode on and really liked that as well. Moody starts high school, I believe, right around the time that the news break about Emmett Till. So, you know, obviously in Mississippi, she's right like in the middle of things. And I think this memoir does a good job of kind of balancing like kind of the like vivid landscapes and maybe not, I don't want to say landscape, like physical landscape. I mean, landscape of like, you know, you, your life of growing up in the South a lot, like maybe Jessamyn Ward does in her work. And then she also really tracks like her journey through civil rights. She goes to a lot of demonstrations and protests. She's involved with the NAACP. So it's a good sobering look at what it was like for a Black woman to grow up in the South at that time. And you kind of see how far we've come and how far we need to go in this.
Good one. My next group is going to have a few books in it. I always like to offer cookbooks because I think they make really nice gifts and they tend to be very beautiful. So I'll knock out a couple of them real quick. The first one is for the vegan in your life. It is called Vegetable Kingdom, The Abundant World of Vegan Recipes, and that is by Bryant Terry. So this is just a very gorgeous book of many different vegetable dishes for you. I think it's also, you know, obviously it's not just for vegans. I've been looking at it. I think it's got a lot of very nice and very tasty looking recipes we do try to incorporate, like meatless meals into our menu often. And it's nice to get an idea like of foods that you can use as like main dishes and also side dishes. So I always love a vegan cookbook for that reason. This one's new. It's like kind of a little bit rustic looking, but also like nice modern twists on it. Great option for the vegans in your life, and for the meat eater, and also for somebody who's like maybe really interested in cooking as like a cultural institution and also like something like very important to history, which is something that I've been more interested in lately. This one is called Jubilee. It's recipes from two centuries of African American cooking, and it is by Toni Tipton Martin. Toni Tipton Martin has written a number of books in the past. She's like basically a food historian. And so she's written about like the cultural history of African American cooking in the United States. Very, very interesting looks at that. And so this book's got like a decent amount of writing about the general history of food and specifically, obviously, African American cooking and its place in the United States, how it's evolved and how varied it is. It's not just soul food, if you want to put it that way. So she's got like a widely varying look at foods that have been important to African American families throughout the history of the United States. Some of the recipes also include like specific historical recipes, which is really interesting to see the way that she's kind of like updated them and made them accessible. She has like a library of like over 400 cookbooks that she used to research this. So when she chose like a recipe to include in the book, she obviously looked at like a number of recipes and then kind of worked from those recipes to create the ones that she includes in the book. So very, very fascinating from that standpoint. Tonight, we're going to make this ground nut stew. And so it's got like peanuts and chicken in it. Very excited about that. I can't wait to have it. It's a great time for stew this time of year. Mm-hmm. But the book in general, it covers appetizers, cocktails, main dishes, soups and salads and meats and desserts, all of it. I'm going to go out and buy it for myself. I got it from the library to check it out, and I really want this one. So I can't recommend that one highly enough.
Well, do you have another one? Because I have a cookbook, too, that maybe I can slide in. The past few months of the pandemic, I have been on a Great British Bake Off obsession. And so what I did is I looked up some of my favorite bakers that appeared on the show to see if they've written cookbooks. And I kind of like underestimated how many actually had written cookbooks and had written multiple cookbooks.
Right.
One of them who was my favorite, and I think she was on in 2016, is Benjamina Ebuhi. And hers is called The New Way to Cake, Simple Recipes with Exceptional Flavor. There are 60 recipes in the book, and I think there's even some gluten-free or vegan recipes in there as well. Her blog definitely has vegan recipes. It's called Carrot and Crumb, which is where I've tried out her stuff. She has a carrot cake recipe on there that is really, really good, so I can guarantee that her stuff is good. And I guess, like, to me, a lot of her stuff and the kind of stuff that she made on the show really has different flavors and spices. And maybe it's more normal for British people. And obviously she's Nigerian, so she's mixing her heritage to find, you know, these recipes and these combinations. But like for me as an American who hasn't really tried a ton of different kinds of baked goods, it just all felt really innovative and fresh. Yeah. So that's what I liked as well with what she makes. The only thing is I had to convert to... use her stuff. So you might need to do that or just use a food scale.
Yes. Yeah. And if you're worried about it, buy your friend a food scale with this cookbook. That's a freebie gift idea from the bookstore. Okay.
Yes.
Along with all of our other book ideas, but yes. So my next category is for the home bartender or just anybody who loves cocktails. I think my like dream idea for my life, if I could go a different direction, would be, or maybe in like an alternate universe where like the prime drinking time is the middle of the day instead of nighttime, because I can't stay up that late, is that I would be a bartender. So I don't have any reason to believe I'd be good at it, but I would just like to try anyway. A really cool cocktail book that I found doing some research, like looking into cocktail books to buy for myself, is it's called The Ideal Bartender, and it's by Tom Bullock. This was actually published in 1917. It is so pre-prohibition, and it was one of like the first cocktail books written by an African-American author. And so it's just like this really cool piece of history. I also tend to really love like traditional cocktails. I know like there's so mm-hmm. many ideas now for like new fancy things using everything under the sun. But like a traditional cocktail to me is just very fascinating. There's a couple places in Grand Rapids here that make them, and I always love that. You can get a nice hardcover copy of this book from a website called Cocktail Kingdom. I don't think it's sold probably through most book distributors. You can, I think, get like Create Space republished, kind of like self-published versions of it, because I'm sure the book is technically like in the, what is that called?
Public domain.
Yes, I'm pretty sure it's probably public domain by now. So there's like other ways to get it. I don't think they're probably as nice quality, like knowing these types of books from when we worked in a bookstore. So I would probably suggest for a gift going with the hardcover copy from Cocktail Kingdom. But I think you would be like a pretty cool person if you found like a neat historical cocktail book to give to your boozy friend.
That actually sounds awesome. I would love to learn how to like make mixed drinks. I can make a couple, but I don't usually just because I don't have the setup for it. But I kind of...
The problem is we only ever have... Yeah. Sorry. I cut you right off.
I was just going to say, I might put that on my list.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I think the problem for me is that like I only ever have one liquor at a time. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's expensive to like build a bar, but people who you know, pull it off, it's always kind of fun.
I also still want to someday have a Puss Cafe from Scruples.
Oh, that yeah,
Judith Kranz. That's Scruples. Like seven different liquors layered on top of each other.
Oh yeah.
But that's probably like over $100 worth of liquor that I'd have to buy. So
oh yeah, yeah, it's crazy.
So next I have for a superhero fan in your life or graphic novel fan or a Roxane Gay fan, because I am going to recommend Black Panther, The World of Wakanda by Roxane Gay and Ta-Nehisi Coates. And it was illustrated by Aletha E. Martinez and Afua Richards. Richards did the cover art, I believe. So this series was canceled, but they are collected in a nice trade paperback. It is about two characters from the Black Panther comics, Ayo and Anika, who are members of the Dora Milaje, which is, if you've seen the movie, they're like the, I guess I want to say like the Amazon warrior women
oh,
who
cool.
protect the king, Black Panther. Mm-hmm. So I always like to hear stories about kind of like the side characters. Like, I do think the Dora Milaje is so interesting of a concept, and they just look so cool in the movie. And so I love that Roxane Gay wrote a whole comic about them. I have not read Coates's Black Panther series, which is where these characters first turn up. But I don't really think you need to. It is their backstory. So they appear in the regular Black Panther comics. And this is kind of just like their own story of how they came to be in the Dora Milaje. But it, like, I don't really think there's anything that you necessarily need to know. You probably do need to watch the movie. But that's it. It's a story of like how, of course, they came to be these warriors. But it's also a love story between the two women. And I think Roxane Gay, of course, I'm not really surprised that she writes the romantic scenes and the sexy scenes really well. But I think she also writes the action scenes well, too. And I know I've mentioned on the podcast before how I think action scenes are really difficult to write in novels. And I don't really know if it's easier or harder when you're talking about graphic novels or comics. But I just think she does a really good job. You know what's happening all the time. And it's like high tension, you know, kind of stuff like that. So, yeah, I don't know. I just think this would be a really interesting thing if you know somebody who's like a really big Marvel movie fan, because it does have a good ending as well. It's not like it's a total cliffhanger because it was canceled.
All right. That's a good one. I also have a graphic novel to recommend. This one is a memoir. It is called Uma's Table, or maybe, yeah, probably Uma's Table, UMMA. And it is by Yeon-sik Hong. He is from South Korea, so it is translated. But it is a memoir about kind of a lot of things. So he and his wife had just had a baby, and they moved to north of Seoul, so like north of the city of Seoul, and got in a place. But his parents were getting a little bit older, and they were in very poor health. And so the book is kind of him balancing being a new father and then also taking care of his mother in her ailing health as she is essentially dying. So it's kind of end of life issues, and his memories then of her cooking for him and his brother, and him then kind of using those same recipes to cook for his son. And they've got a garden now. So like a lot of it is also about him gardening and sharing that with his son and his wife. It is a really, really beautiful story. I cried for like the last 100 pages or so. And it's really funny because like you see the artwork and it's all in black and white, which is very cool. But like the characters are all cats. They're like people, but they're cats. So sometimes it's like incredibly adorable, like very kind of anime cartoony character looking. But then sometimes the artwork is also like hyper detailed. I don't know. He manages to capture just like so much emotion and also so much detail in a way that I didn't really expect to experience with, you know, like humans with cat heads to pull off.
Yeah.
I think it would be a great book for people who enjoy memoirs, who enjoy food, who enjoy gardening or anything like that. Even just graphic novels. I think it would be a great, really cool graphic novel to add to anybody's collection. I think it was released this year in the US anyway, in April. So fairly new, really good one. Recommend it for everybody, but I also think it would make a great gift.
So I have one more, and that is for anybody that you know that might be interested in poetry, or maybe just somebody who's a little bit more artistic. I think giving like books of poetry as a gift is such a good idea, because with a book, you kind of read it once, usually like a novel, and then you're going to put it on your shelf. Whereas with poems, you really don't read it straight through. You read a couple, you put it away, you feel like reading some more, you take it out. You can go back and reread your favorites without having to like be like, oh, okay, I really like this one chapter in this one book. Now I got to go find it. And then it doesn't make sense because I got to read the whole book all over again. Whatever. With poetry, you don't have to do that. And There is a collected poems of Audre Lorde out that's really nice. And I think instead of like describing her poetry, I'm just going to read a little bit of one.
Ooh, our first poem.
Because everybody knows who Audre Lorde is. So I don't really think I can say anything that anybody doesn't know. But okay. So this is called If You Come Softly. If you come as softly as the wind within the trees, you may hear what I hear, see what sorrow sees. If you come as lightly as threading dew, I will take you gladly, not ask more of you. You may sit beside me, silent as a breath. Only those who stay dead shall remember death. And if you come, I will be silent, nor speak harsh words to you. I will not ask you why now, or how, or what you do. We shall sit here softly, beneath two different years, and the rich between us shall drink our tears. That one is actually probably slightly different from most of Lorde's poetry in that it's rhyming.
Yeah.
You know, but not everything is like that, but I just picked that one because it was kind of different than what I've read about her before. And it's kind of nice to read something like that. It's like pleasing to the ear.
Yes.
And it's easier to speak out loud. I'm not always sure how to pause when I'm reading poetry.
I know. Yeah. That's a good suggestion, though. Poetry is a good gift idea, I think, because, like, it doesn't come with the pressure of, like, here is a 14-hour job for you.
Yeah.
Like, reading a whole novel could be.
Yes.
All right. I think my last ones are going to be photo book recommendations. So these do tend to be pretty pricey. But I love photography and I love photo books specifically. I love having them around. I think they're beautiful. My first recommendation for a photo book for Christmas or holiday gifts this year is going to be, it's called Jamel Shabazz, Sights in the City, New York Street Photographs. So Jamel Shabazz is, maybe you can guess, a photographer. And he photographed in the 80s in New York. It's just kind of street photography. Street photography, if you're not familiar with it, it's just kind of what it sounds like. A photographer goes out into the streets and takes pictures of people doing what they do out in the streets, basically. So in a lot of ways, it can kind of lean sort of fashion-y, just in that you get like a lot of that vernacular, like the way that real people dress as they're going about their daily lives. So his work tends to focus on the Black community in New York at the time. So you get like a lot of that early hip hop kind of look. And then, yeah, I don't know. It's very cool looking. I think it's got an aesthetic that is sort of coming back in a way in terms of photography and art. So I think that would be a really cool one to give to people who are interested in that sort of look and approach to art. My next recommendation is really anything by Graciela Iturbide, who she's a Mexican photographer still around, but worked a lot in the 70s and 80s. She's really pretty iconic, I think, in terms of photographers. I'm going to try to come up with a title specifically because some of them are out of print. So one of them that's available, easy to get your hands on, is Graciela Iturbide's Mexico. And basically, she works mainly in black and white, but she takes pictures of a lot of indigenous communities in Mexico. I just think that her work is really beautiful. It's got this relationship with life and death that I just don't think I've ever seen expressed in photos as well as they are with hers. And yeah, just really gorgeous, juxtaposing kind of traditional lifestyles with more modern lifestyles, the way that people do. And yeah, I don't know. Her work is incredible. You should seek it out either way. But I do, again, think that they would make a very nice gift for anyone interested in art or photography.
Yeah, they both sound amazing. And coffee table books like that are such good presents because they're always so nice. Like, yes, of course, they're expensive, but they give a really big payoff, because yeah. who doesn't love also to go over to somebody's house and be able to have like a book like that out that you can kind of flip through. I actually am gonna recommend one more book that I have not read, and I'm not gonna talk about it long, but I'm gonna say Our Time Is Now: Power, Purpose, and the Fight for a Fair America by Stacey Abrams.
Oh, yes.
Probably, I think she's written other books too. So any of her books, buy them for your family, buy them for yourself. Obviously, we can see that she knows exactly what she's doing, and she's making a huge impact on the U.S. and keeping democracy alive, fighting voter suppression. And I think, I don't know, I haven't read this book, but I would assume that this is going to be something to inspire and also, you know, kind of show other people what to do and how we can also help.
Yes. Yay for Stacey Abrams. Thank you. Yeah. I think that's going to wrap it up for our 2020 gift holiday guide. So thank you for listening.
If you would like to support the podcast beyond listening, you can check out our Patreon at patreon.com/thebookstore or rate and review us on Apple Podcasts.
You can find all of the ways to contact us. Our email, our social media, and phone line are all linked at thebookstorepodcast.com.
Our next book discussion will be How Much of These Hills is Gold by C. Pam Zhang. You can find it at your local bookstore or library and read along with us.
The Bookstore is a production of Awkwardly Social Media, produced by Becca Yonk and Corinne Keener, with technical and production support provided by Josh Bourdon and Zach Titus.
And John, if you're out there, thanks for listening.
See you next Tuesday.
Bye.
Bye. Just real quick.